As you talk about all this stuff, this nonviolence and just war, I have the feeling that it's got a significant amount of personal energy. This isn't just a scholarly pursuit. This isn't just how many angels can dance on the head of a pin kind of thing. Was there a point where you were a scholar and you got caught up in the passion of it, or did you go into this philosophy and its concomitant subjects because of your passion?
No, I didn't go in because of my passion. My training in graduate school in philosophy at the University of Michigan was in what one might call analytic ethics. I was dealing with ethical theory and interesting issues, but which didn't really have any bearing upon practical matters, practical affairs going on in the world. Much of my early work for a number of years was of that sort. That is my professional academic work. At the same time, I became concerned with issues of war and peace. Vietnam War was starting to get underway, and there was a nuclear arms race and so on. And I found myself devoting more and more of my time and energy to activism of various kinds, both political and otherwise. I even ran for Congress as a peace candidate back during the Vietnam War. Eventually, I began to realize that I had to bring together my professional academic work and my practical concerns, ethical concerns with what was going on in the world. Then it began to dawn on me that that was a perfectly legitimate thing to do. That is, that there were genuine philosophical issues involved in nonviolence and in pacifism and issues of war that philosophers hadn't adequately worked out, and that this was a legitimate area of academic and, more specifically, philosophical concern. So eventually, I brought those two together, and at the present time, that's almost exclusively where my energy is going, and I'm still doing work on nonviolence and on issues of war, because nonviolence is still in its infancy so far as human civilization is concerned. Gandhi has said that nonviolence is as old as the hills, and of course he's right, because you can find the origins of nonviolence back in early Indian thought. But at the same time, nonviolence isn't really understood, and we've only scratched the surface of what there is to be explored and understood by nonviolence. And I think this is true even of the work of Gandhi and Martin Luther King, that as far as they took us in the understanding of nonviolence, still they left a great deal to be done. And I've become convinced that if the world is going to survive indefinitely, that we have to make a commitment to nonviolence, and we have to transform what I would call a culture of violence that exists in the world today into a culture of nonviolence. And I think this requires studying nonviolence at all levels of the educational system, from the earliest grades right up through public school and in the college level as well. And I find that the college students that I teach in my course on the philosophy, history, and practice of nonviolence are really intrigued by the notion, and it opens up ideas to them and thoughts to them that most of them had not seriously considered before. I think that quite apart from its practical bearing on resolving issues in the world today, the study of nonviolence is just intellectually an exciting and interesting area. I'm hoping that the time will come when colleges and universities throughout the country will have programs in nonviolence. And the practical bearing of that, I say that the study of nonviolence is intellectually exciting. I find it to be so, and I think the students do as well. But in the longer term, I think it holds the hope for the salvation of humankind. It's a long process, and you can't make the transformation from a culture of violence to a culture of nonviolence overnight. You have to be patient. You have to expect that it's going to take a long time. What we can do here at the present time is to make a small effort in that direction to help move things along ever so slightly, in the expectation that that will encourage others and set the stage for others to follow suit. And then perhaps in 1,000 years, maybe the world can be changed. That, I think, is the hope for humankind. And I think it's naive to think that humankind will survive indefinitely. I don't think there's any guarantee that human beings will still be living on Earth 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 years from now if they continue on their present path. We could very well become extinct. fact, it's been said that we humans are intelligent, but we may not be intelligent enough to save ourselves. Well, I would like to see us use our intelligence and our moral sensibility to try to save ourselves and to save much of the animal world and the environment as well. And this is the challenge of nonviolence that I see.